the night before my mom's accident, my stepfather, I never knew my real father at that time. My stepfather beat me like all night.
Wow.
I was sitting at a table and I was eating, but I had my fork. I was holding my fork wrong, right? Okay. So I wasn't holding it. I was kind of, the fork was in my hand for those who are listening. Like I was squeezing it.
Yeah.
Not holding it correctly. You know, he came over and literally squeezed my hand on the fork until it cut my hand open.
Wow.
Then he kicked me in the stomach and it was crazy. Wow. But when, you know, when my mom got home, it ain't no game. She was like, uh-uh. And they fought all night. But the next day,
wow,
she has an accident. She's left paralyzed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to grow up really fast.
Yeah.
You know, I did all the cooking, all the cleaning. I washed her hair every night. I brushed her hair every night. I had a little sister, 1 year old at the time. So I ended up raising her.
Oh, wow.
But then, meanwhile, I'm doing all that for my mom. But then my stepdad would beat me almost every day. I'd go to school with black eyes, and he'd pull a knife to my throat, you know.
Wow.
He'd even put bullets in a gun and play Russian roulette and tell my mom he was going to kill everybody and leave her to deal with it, you know.
Wow.
He was miserable.
Yeah.
You know. That's just my reality. I have nothing against him.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, that really shaped me in my life and who I am.
And
the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know. Because of that, I had to go through a lot of transformation of my mind and a lot of dealings with rejection and abuse and, you know, the whole thing, you know. And when I was, I guess, 15 or 16, I was a rapper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My rap name was J-Love.
Okay.
My wife still calls me J-Love to this day. And, you know, we would meet in front of the school, we'd battle, and I was telling you last night, I was the beatbox guy, so
yeah.
I'd get in the corner of the bathroom so you get the good,
yeah,
good bass. And so I had this rap group, but there was this one day where this sweet Baptist lady saw me walking down the street with my sister. Because every day when I'd get home from school, I would have to do laundry. So I would put the laundry in a grocery cart,
mm-hmm,
and I'd walk to the laundromat.
Yeah.
And I can imagine to, you know, onlookers, that looked pretty crazy, this little,
yeah,
skinny boy, you know, walking, mm-hmm, to the laundromat,
yeah, yeah,
and with his little sister. And so they stopped for me, bro.
Mm-hmm.
They found out who I was. They found out what was going on. They started picking me up every Sunday for church. And then when they found out that I did all the cooking for probably, I don't know how many years, but probably, wow, I mean, maybe even 4 or 5 years, I forget. Every week, twice a week, 4 or 5 years, they bring a home-cooked meal to my house.
Wow.
Never missed a week.
Hmm.
And Jesus is just that incredible.
Yeah.
You know, they stopped for me. And they didn't just, like, stop for me. They got directly involved in my life and literally saved my life.
Mm-hmm.
And they started taking me to youth camps and church retreats. And so there was this one retreat, man, where, I mean, I had already accepted Jesus. My grandfather was a gospel singer.
Okay.
He played on the Grand Ole Opry. And,
mm-hmm,
I mean, so I had, through him, I had, but at home, I had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was, you know, I would walk home from school and picture myself throwing myself in front of a bus, like, constantly.
Yeah.
It was just that miserable, you know, but then Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so there was one church retreat, and I don't know if you may know this woman's name. It was a Christian singer named Babby Mason.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. So I had this rap I had written with a friend, and so I just encountered Jesus, and I got up, and I even opened up about what was going on at my home and in front of this whole, like, youth conference, and I changed the lyrics of that rap, and they had a talent show. So I walked up to Babby Mason. I didn't know she was a Dove Award like Christian singer. I had no clue who she was. I was like, "Hey, you sing amazing. Would you get in the talent show with me?" And she did.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
And so that's kind of how that started. And then I met who's now my wife of 28 years. I met her a year. So I'm going through all this, and then I meet her a year after she had just gone through a full bone marrow transplant. And what I mean by that is full body, you know, radiation.
Oh, wow.
You know, she was given 3 months to live.
Wow.
So I met her a year after her transplant.
Mm.
And we've been together ever since. We dated for 4 years, been married 28 years.
Wow.
And so our second date, I think it was second or third, she took me to a Christian rock concert.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had just changed the lyrics of that. And I'm talking a few years here, but I had just started thinking that way, you know.
Was it Striper?
No, but they were like that. It was kind of a hair rock band, you know.
Yeah.
They toured with, they did things with David and the Giants and all those guys. And this guy got up and preached the gospel. And he said, there are people in other countries who will risk their life to tell people about Jesus, but we won't. We're ashamed to tell our neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, boom.
Wow.
That's it. So the next week, we started our Christian rock band, if you will, in my wife's front yard. And I always kind of joke when I tell this because I'm like, we were horrible, but we love Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And we just kept leaning into Jesus. We just kept going after Jesus. We just kept learning who he is and his nature and his character. And still, I was, you know, in the worst scenario at home, you know, and she was still, you know, coming out of leukemia.
Yeah.
But we fell in love, and we kept writing songs and preaching the gospel and dating and falling more in love. And you know, for us, what we do isn't about ministry. It's an overflow of who we are.
Yeah.
You know, and so then we, I graduated and started, you know, working, but I went to Bible school at night.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd work during the day and we'd go to Bible school at night. And it was a whole season where my wife and I, the Lord would tell us to go to church. Like it was either 5 or 6 in the morning. I mean, we did that for a long time, every morning, the weekdays. And we'd go together and we'd pray in tongues and we'd worship Jesus. And so much was birthed in our spirit in those times. And I remember one service where our pastor of the time had the church on the back wall. On one side it says taking Jesus, and on the other side to the nations. So I remember like sitting there, and I wrote in my Bible, I want to lead worship in different languages in different nations. And how would that ever happen?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm cleaning houses, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like she's working at the bookstore. You know, we both came out of such really hard situations. How is that going to work? But we just kept writing songs, and then we started leading worship for the youth. And it was, I mean, we did that for years. And then from there, we started leading worship in prisons, and from there in juveniles. And then the Lord started telling us to rent parks, and we would rent parks and just you know, play our music. You know, now I have a grid for what we were doing. Back then, we were just doing what felt natural. You know,
yeah.
Now I know we were releasing a sound over the nations.